Blog Talk Radio.
Your day?
It's good. How was yours?
It's been a good day. It's been good. Have you worked since the last time I talked to you? Did you have work or did you have a day off or so?
Yeah, I worked. I worked today.
Okay. Any shady characters?
No, not really. I'm just really, like, tired all the time. But I mean, yeah, it was a good day, I guess. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're here. And I heard Michelle, she did a wonderful job this morning in the morning show. I listened to it. It was wonderful. So, Michelle, thank you so much. What a blessing that, you know, when that we can all just do this with Jesus, you know? Wow, that's great. Michelle, you did great. Did you get to hear it by any chance yet, Luco?
Oh, no, not yet. I'll have to go listen to it sometime.
Yeah, Dustin couldn't do the morning show. He was visiting a friend in prison and so, or in jail or something. So it was so sweet. Fell to do that and let me get my beauty rest. Because, you know, sometimes I get gingivitis, my gums are, everything's exposed. And, you know, it's not easy being a donkey. It's not.
Oh, my goodness. Sounds pretty graphic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've seen what it looks like. So, but anyway. My donkey face. I need a beauty rest. I can't be, you know, getting up at 7 when I go to bed at 5 a.m. Because I'm rapture-centric. I'm nocturnal donkey. Anyway, nobody has sympathy for me. Cry me a river. All you do is sit home all day and wait for the rapture. Please, please, lady. I don't want to hear it. That's what M. Bell told me. He's like, oh, cry me a river. He sent me that on a private box. Anyway, welcome Gemma in the chat room and Jason 302, a.k.a. my Judas buddy partner. We're starting a afternoon radio show called the Judas-Centric Show, where we discuss for 2 hours why we love Judas, starting tomorrow. We won't be. Anyway,
are we actually doing that?
No, but we should, because you don't even know how much Jason has studied and how much time he's put into it. And well, you do, because you got his...
Oh, yeah, I was there.
And if you want Jason to email you his scholarly work, if he will, Jason, if you don't want to, that's fine. But I'm sure he'd be happy to share it with you. But we've really been drawn to Judas, and we stay up in the chat sometimes till 2 a.m., you know, anyway, we just exchange things like videos, and Jason wrote this paper on Judas and did a lot of study in the Greek, so that was really fun. So anyway, Kenneth, welcome. Chris Slaughter, so glad you're here. Luco, get the retard sticker because he's both here and in the chat room. Welcome, Nick. Oh, put your sticker on, Luco. Can you do that?
Oh, someone has to present it to me. I can't present it to myself.
Okay, I'll
you have to be like,
to
on behalf of all CC, I present to you the retard sticker award. That's what you have to say to me.
On behalf of Rapture Retard Church, I present to you, Luco Evans, the sticker, the mark of bilocation. You are bilocating already, and you don't even have your glorified body. So you are amazing. You are in two places at once. You supernaturally have done this. And for that, please accept this day, on April 11th, 2013, your sticker. Please apply it now to your right hand.
That was a little excessive, Judy. I wasn't expecting that, but okay. thank you for my sticker presentation. Okay. And just saying, I am on the iPad, and I am really lazy today. So if I just don't talk very much, I'm sorry. It's just that this thing's kind of hard to work with sometimes. So, yeah, I can see things, though, for the most part, unless I'm private messaging somebody.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just chill. We're going to have a lot going on today. Oh, just keep your sticker on.
Yep.
I want to welcome Nick Hari to the chat room and Alana, I love you, and Raina, and Michelle. Michelle is rapture-centric, and she did the show this morning. And Rojo, welcome, and Roman, and Tana, I'm freaking out right now. Tressie, Tressmark, back. Holy cow. Luco, did you see that? Tressie's back. We were all just asking for Tressie the other day.
Oh, that's
Tressie's
cool.
Tressie's back. Tana, here's your sticker because you're on the line and you're in the chat room.
Here, I'll present it. On behalf of OCC, I present to you the Rapture Retard Sticker Award. See, you got to make it short and sweet like that, Judy. Come on.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Thank you so much. I'm so excited. So much. Thank you. I'd like to thank God first and foremost for creating me and blessing me with this sticker. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. All right, perfect. All right, let's get going now. Hi, Tressie.
All right.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Tressie. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pat.
Hey,
oh, Pat, like, just popped in. I like how Pat's
yeah,
always
just
there.
Popped in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here, honeys.
Yeah, the gift
Welcome,
of bilocation. Gift of bilocation.
Bilocation.
And in the chat, bilocation. True miracle. It's being two places at once. And Tana and Luca have done that today. And that's amazing. And I encourage every bride to try to bilocate. It's wonderful. Tressie, I'm freaking out right now. Let's talk about Tressie for like a half an hour. This is so great. Tressie.
Half an hour. All right.
No, for real.
We should telephone Tressie. Yeah,
for sure. We're going to definitely telephone him. But we just.
I can telephone him. I have his number. I'll telephone him right now and get him on the show.
You are so silly, Nico.
I'm just saying.
Welcome, Pat and Keith and Joe and Tana. Yippee. They're on the line
Keith,
right now.
Hi,
Keith, I got
Hi,
your really
Hi,
risque
Hi,
song
babies.
On here.
Hear it again?
I got your really risque song on here.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, I like listening to it. I was like, I never actually paid attention to the lyrics, but dude, Keith, man.
It's
an interesting
it's
song.
It's beautiful. It's right up your alley, Luco. It's our perfect mascot song. It's our mascot song for the church.
What song?
We Are Family by Sister Sledge, and it's a beautiful song, and we're excited about it, yes.
Keith,
Luco put his dancing
me.
Shoes on, and he had his disco
it's
outfit
not by
on.
By Sister Sledge, Keith. I don't even know who that is. You
Sister
sent me a
Sledge.
Different song.
No, we are. I sent you We Are Family by Sister Sledge. Well, maybe the Super Freak song. I sent you that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you sent me that one.
Yeah, that's for when we're everybody's being really shady in RCC, then we play that one that day.
Dude, you said that one was the mascot one. I was like, oh, my gosh.
That's a fun
no.
song, that Super Freak.
So you're saying I went and downloaded a whole friggin' album by that guy for that
hit.
Song, and it's not even the right one?
That was a huge smash hit around the world too at the time. It's
I know everybody. Dude, still, everybody knows that song. But I'm just like, Keith said I was going
That's
to hell if I didn't play the song. So now I'm worried.
Yeah. You got to play the "We Are Family" song by Sister Sledge, and then as we get more shady, then we, you know, if we're having a real shady day, then our other songs switches
right.
over.
Am I still
Super
going to hell
song.
Since I made an effort to do the right one?
You were saved because of that. I'm
okay,
proud
cool.
of you. Yeah. Because,
all right. Thanks,
yeah,
man.
God was pretty upset about that. Yeah. So
yeah.
you're in now. Did you find the
cool.
Sister Sledge one though? You got that one, right?
Who names themselves Sister Sledge? That's so gross.
You got it though, right? Did you find that one? We Are Family? That's the one where that's our mascot song.
I
that's
got the
one
Super Freak email, man. I
I sent you the other one. Sure. Okay.
Okay, I'll try to find
Luco.
It. Huh.
Tonic will send it to you, or I'll send it to you. That's the one we want to play.
No, I'm pretty sure it's in my email somewhere. I just saw the newest one of your emails, and I assumed that was the one you wanted. But
no, I sent
I
that
can't
one
do anything right, Keith. I mean, you should know this by now.
I'm learning that. Yeah, I sent you one before. The other one is our – that one, the recent one you hide on a really shady day, we'll play it, and the other one we're going to play.
Okay. Dude, I did it last minute, too. I was like, I remembered. I was like, oh, no, I don't want to go to hell. So I went and did it.
Yeah, Judy was worried about that. Everyone was worried about that, so we had to just get that song up and running. I said that because a lot of the YouTube videos, you know, on YouTube, everybody makes videos, and if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell, and blah, 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 blah. So it was kind of funny, so that's why I put that in there.
Oh, I thought you were dead serious, Keith.
Well, no, you watch those YouTube videos, and they are like that. People get crazy.
They do.
Is Joe on the line?
Yeah, Joe's
Joe,
right
there?
Here.
Joe.
Probably eating a hot
Hello.
Pocket.
Hello.
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 Sorry, I'm, like, hands full. You know, you shouldn't drive with a glass bottle of Coca-Cola and a cup holder in your car. I just found out the hard way.
Oh, no.
You shouldn't drive while eating a bowl of cereal, Joe. Come on.
Ah, no. You're right, Luca. Something else I got to stop doing. I'll be back on the line in a minute.
All right. You better.
All right. I will. I love you all.
Love you, JoJo. I can call him JoJo, Luco. Can you?
I call him Joey, so that's better.
Well, Trader Joe's has these cookies called JoJo's, and I love eating those.
Dude,
so.
I cooked JoJo's at Albertsons, okay?
Keith and Luco, I really enjoyed your family conversation. It was
yeah, I've been threatening my destiny over a song by someone named Sister Sludge. Yeah, totally.
It's a great song. I hope you get it. Boy, I think it's great. It's like unites all. God totally told me that. Out of the blue, he said, just in my mind, he was very clear. Sister Sledge is our new family mascot.
Wait, what's the song called again?
We Are Family.
Dude, we should play We Are the World. We are the world.
The Sister Sledge are like the, they're kind of like the Pointer Sisters, but they're different.
Dude, I'm talking about the 80s one, not the retarded one with Justin Bieber. I'm talking about the good 80s one with, like, Michael Jackson and, like, Willie Nelson and stuff. Like, dude, that was great.
Yeah. We'll save that for Christmas time, love. No problem.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we know Keith's going to be here, so. No, just kidding.
No, this one is like, it's like, so three singers are like the Pointer Sisters, but I think they're different, but they're good. They're really good. So, Judy, you want me to give you my talk?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
He's going to have a wonderful talk. Remember, this is RCC, Rapture-Centric Church. You might just want to call it, you know, Rapture-Centric Reality Church because, you know, this whole conversation between Luco and Keith, you're probably thinking, could they have had this conversation, like, off the air? But no, because we're family. And this is what we do, families hanging out and encouraging each other until the rapture. That's what Rapture-Centric Church is all about. Jesus is our pastor, and he allows all kinds of conversations and shady characters to come in here and share.
Yeah, being formal is boring.
So anyone can call and just share their heart. And we are welcoming our pastor, Jesus Christ, to do what he wants in his church. Until he gets here, when we're opening up our lives and our hearts to him and one another and loving one another deeply, not just superficially, which is why Kevin and Luco could have this little spat together and still, you know, it's fun, it's all good, no one's really mad. But I do hope that Luco gets that song. It's called We Are Family.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's what
okay.
We...
Remember,
yeah,
okay,
I mean...
guys, you need to remember, I made a very strong effort because I thought I was getting the right song, see?
No,
okay.
No, no, no.
You might be, Sissy Loco, you might be going to hell because you didn't get the right song. See what I'm saying? So
you're so religious.
You got to get the right song. You got to get it. You got to get it.
I made an
Jeez.
Effort. I thought all we needed was an effort. He
no,
knows the desires
no.
of our heart. You're just a religious hypocrite, Keith. That's what I think.
That's it. You got to get that one. Otherwise, you know, it's like, that's it. You're headed for the fire.
I'm gonna be like standing before God and be like, haven't I downloaded songs in your name? And I'm like, blah blah blah. He's like, depart from me. You picked the wrong song.
Yeah. And I'll be standing next to Jesus. I'll be like, Lord, I validate that he did the wrong song. I just, you know, what can we do? I'm here to say it was wrong.
Oh my God. You're such a Pharisee. Isn't he a Pharisee? I think he is.
Someone called me a false prophet today, so, you know, I'm getting hit.
No, you're not a false prophet. I just think you're a Pharisee. You're so, like, mean.
Oh,
I'm
you've
kidding,
seen nothing
Keith.
Yet, brother. I
oh,
I
don't plan on it.
Okay, so here's the, I just sent
oh, wait,
a seed looker just now.
Hold
there you
on,
go, brother.
Second,
got it.
This is going to be the Tressie-centric show tonight. Tressie-centric show. Our pastor is setting aside the entire show to be Tressie-centric because we're just so glad Tressie from Norway is back with us. We've missed him for almost, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. It seems like forever. I don't know. It might not have been that long. But, Tressie, we're super glad you're here. And all throughout church, we're going to be dedicating songs to you and talking about you in between all the amazing things God's going to do. Okay, so everybody is on the line. Every now and then, just say something about Tressie and, you know, Tressie-centric all the way. So Keith has something on his heart he wants to share today. I'm so excited to hear it. Go for it, Keitho. Keitho the Mano. Hello.
Okay, yeah. So I just sang the song, Luco, so there you go. Okay, so what I wanted to talk today was about discernment. I want to have I want to talk a little bit about discernment, and then I wanted to talk about how we can all increase our discernment gifts, which is wonderful. So it'll be a really cool thing to help us all, and then it'll be just something about it.
Perfect.
So let's talk about discernment. So basically, so what is discernment? This is for all the people in the chat room and all the people listening as well. So discernment is basically, at a very basic level, discernment is to be able to sense good from evil. That's the most basic interpretation or meaning of it. So a lot of, I have a very powerful gift of discernment. There's definitely levels of discernment. You can climb and climb and get a very, real strong gift. So there's different things that you can discern. You can discern people and what they say. Like if you're listening to RCC, you can discern what is being said is it good or evil, or is it gray in the gray area too. You can discern buildings and locations when you go places, when you walk into people's homes. What's the first thing that you discern? Do you feel energy there? What are you discerning? Is it good, bad? What's going on with it? So your discernment gift should be on 24 hours a day. You literally, Jesus said recently in a prophecy message that discernment gift was the most powerful gift that people should be using, and I second that one. The reason why is because we've got people, we've got spirits around us, we've got all kinds of things going on, and you need to be able to discern, what is of God and what is not of God, basically. Like, for instance, today somebody had emailed me from my YouTube and said, Keith, I think you're a false prophet. Okay, I've heard this before. Just, whatever. Laugh it off. The hard part about it is, so I went and looked at his picture so I can see into his spirit to see what's going on. And I see someone that is, very innocent and not really sure what's going on. And I can see he can't discern, So the key here is how to increase your discernment so you can really make sure you're accurate in your discerning. It's very important. A lot of people are running around saying, people are false prophets. And I think about it, and the Lord reminded me just now, think about in the Bible days, Paul went and killed lots of Christians in the Bible, right? His name was Saul, and he killed lots of Christians. Then he became a Christian. He started saving souls. Now, can you imagine how many people back then were calling him a false prophet?
Woo!
Probably tons of people were. Would you want to be one of those people running around saying, Paul is a false prophet, right? I mean, what would the Lord think of you if you're running around saying, Paul is a false prophet, he's going straight to hell. You see what I'm saying? So you don't want to be on the wrong end of the stick. God's messengers are out there spreading the message, and you're out there, trying to stop their ministry by saying they're a false prophet, So when this kid called me a false prophet, it doesn't get me upset. It more gets me upset they're not, they're out there not using their gifts, and they're causing wreaking havoc, because we've got God's messengers out spreading the message, and we don't need those people being taken down, We need to spread the message. So as a rule of thumb for everyone out there, the best rule of thumb that I use, I watch, probably 100 videos a night, because one of my gifts is I can scan videos without having to listen to the whole thing. And I can do that with books as well. It's a very strong discernment gift. But anyway, so I scan hundreds and hundreds of videos a night, and sometimes 100, 150. And what I do is I just kind of see God will tell me what the gist of what's going on with that video and that person. I have lots of videos I subscribe to, but I never call anybody a false prophet. I never have. I never will. Because to me, it's like, okay, there's things they said that I'm discerning are inaccurate, so what do? I just discard it. I definitely don't want to be on the wrong end of the stick, running around calling them a false prophet and, creating videos about all that stuff. It's a waste of time. We just need to be worried about advancing the kingdom and not trying to take down the people that we think are false, okay? The question is, So why do people say then that some people are false prophets? The thing is, you can get a message from God, right? And it can be totally accurate. God can say, I'm going to tell you about, you know, the message from heaven about the rapture, right? And then you can turn around and spit it out of your mouth on a video and say it all wrong. Think about that. I know everyone has heard that story where one person heard a story, they told it to another person, who told it to another person, who told it to another person. By the time I got to the fifth person, it was a completely different story. So why is that? The reason why is because when we get a message from God, it goes through our mind and our emotions, right? Because we're a vessel, right? So then we spit it out of our mouth. Well, a lot of people can hear a story and go, oh, I'm so touched by that part of the story. Oh, I believe in romance. And so then they're now preaching the romantic part of the story more, right? And someone else can be like, oh, I hate that part. So now they're preaching more of the stronger, right? See what I'm saying? So are all of them false prophets because the story turned out different? No. But the difference is they're accenting certain parts of the story. Well, God's the same way. When he gives us messages, we can easily, you know, build our own emotional thought without realizing it, our thought and our emotions into it, and spit out a false prophet story there. See what I'm saying? So, or it may not be false. It just be coming from us, but it could definitely be false. So the key is really is you don't want to run around telling, you never want to say anyone's a false prophet, plain and simple. This should not be in your vocabulary. If you don't like listening to the person, just don't listen to them. If you don't like what they say, those three words they said, just ignore them. Just only focus on what is going to raise your spirit, you know, and strengthen you in the Lord, not something that's going to take you down. Spending time, energy, trying to chase false prophets and destroy them and wreck them, is it falls in the unforgiveness department, and it's a good way to not enter the rapture, okay? So got that out of the way. So all I'm saying is don't spend any time on stuff that you discern as false. Focus on, you know, stuff that you feel is good. So I'm going to talk about how we can all increase our discernment gift. So you can discern building, people, places. You can look into someone's spirit to see who they are. Like if someone is standing next to me in the grocery store or wherever, you know, like if I'm somewhere, I can look into their spirit and I can see into their heart. God will show me. Really, because I have the gift, God's already given me the gift, so I just use the gift. It's easy. And I just look into them and I can see who they are as a person. I can describe their personality and I can determine, I can start to see problems in them, and then I can start scanning their mind and things of that nature. So it's a valuable gift because then when you're talking to someone and you want to bring up the Lord or you want to advance the kingdom, you can kind of see what you should say and what you shouldn't say at what time, right? Because you just don't want to hit them over the head with the Bible and all that stuff. You can say just key words, and then you can watch how they're responding to you. So the best way to discern, to increase your discernment is if you're not sure and you want to improve it, is to ask questions. So say you walk into a new building, and you're not sure what's in the building. Are there angels, demons? What's going on in this building, right? So you can say, Lord, is there angels in this building? Always ask a question. Or if you meet somebody new and they're, you know, talking on and on. You know, in L.A. it's really easy to discern people because they'll just talk all day long about themselves, and then you just, okay, and you just sit there and discern them. So when they're talking, then you can ask God, does this person believe in you, Lord, yes or no? Is this person... You know, are they a giving person? You know, and say you're in a real estate deal, you can say, God, can I trust this person with this home that I want to buy? Or can I trust this person with this apartment I want to rent? Oh, Lord, should I get the job from this person? Because it sounds really good, but I don't know if I trust this person. Ask questions. Ask God questions about the person. And God will answer you through your one of five senses. He's going to give you, if you're a thinker, he's going to give you a thought instantly, or maybe a Bible verse or something like that. If you're a feeler, you're going to get an emotion, whether it's be good or bad. So you use your five senses, you know, feeling, thinking. Most of us are thinkers or feelers, so we're either going to get a feeling or we're going to get something in our mind about it, one of the two. Like I said, if you're a feeler, you just go like, you'll get a feeling. It's not something you need to create. God will give it to you, and bam, it'll hit you. Sometimes 3 seconds later, you know, and you'll be like, oh, whoa, yeah. Sometimes you even forget the question you asked, and then you get the answer from God. So the key is you want to ask questions about the building that you're in, about the people that you're asking questions about. And you can do this through all parts of your boss, every day at work, the people you meet, the people in your church, whatever, your pastor, Lord, is this person good? And then ask a question, and then focus on whether you're a feeler or a thinker. It'll just come through that sense. So you'll want to pay attention to that feeling area, pay attention to that thinking area. Like, for instance, when we have play telephone, many times I'll tell Judy that I want to hear the person say something or write something, but preferably say something. I really like that. The reason why is because I'm using my feeling gifts in that area, and I want to feel their energy. So if I hear them talk, I can feel that energy, and I can go right inside that energy and start discerning what's going on with them. That's why it's hard for me sometimes in the chat room if we're just getting someone that's just typing. That's a real hard one because there's no energy. You know, we're all energy people, and that's how God connects us. So, but like the other day, yesterday, when I was able to feel the person that we had typing in the chat room, Luca was able to get it, and it was just, like, totally awesome. God just gave it to him about the person. I think it was James or one of them we had mentioned. I forget. But Luca was able to get it, and that's why I was texting him afterwards. Wow, great job. God really gave you that information. Good job. So the key is, you know, I like them to ask questions and all. That way we can get energy from them. So if you're a feeler, you're going to want to hear the person talk and things like that, and you can start feeling their energy. And if you're a thinker, you'll just ask God, or it'll just come to you great, you know, instantly. So the two steps are, for discerning, you want to ask your question, whether it be about the building, your boss, any question you have, and then you want to go ahead and pay attention to your feeling or thinking center, you know, your thinking area, for the answer. And you want to practice it. Now, when you're trying to increase your discernment gift, you don't want to just run out and start throwing the Bible at everybody and telling everybody they're going to hell because, oh, that was a false prophet, blah, 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 right? You don't want to do that. Again, you're new at it, or if you're not new, you're trying to increase your gift. So you may be wrong. And why would you be wrong? Well, God could say, you're like, God, is my boss, you know, is this new boss that I want to get this job from, is he like a good person? The Lord can say, well, he did this and that, and I don't think he is, right? And then you're all of a sudden, because maybe you got burned in the past from someone, you're just, oh, I hate this person, right? So you can see how immediately your mind and your emotions tainted what God had said, okay? God didn't say he was a horrible person. He just said this is what he's done in the past, right? So that's what I'm trying to say. You've got to pay attention to not taint what you get. You want to be a clear vessel. Whenever I'm getting stuff from God, I get stuff so fast, it's like lightning fast. But I always discern what I'm saying to make sure that I'm clearing, that I'm a clear vessel. You want to be get a message from God. You want to be a clear vessel. Say only what you get from God. Don't try to add anything to it or any emotion or anything like that. And just say clearly what you get from God. So you want to ask your question. You'll get it through your senses, and then you can go ahead and say what you get. And you want to be really humble and always be careful not to just say this, this, and that until you really know what you're doing. And then your discernment gift will grow and grow, and it'll be the best gift out of any gift you can possibly have for God, because you'll really be able to do some powerful work to advance the kingdom every day. So, and that's it. That's all I got to say about that.
That's beautiful. Keith, I just want to ask you something. This is for someone who is already walking with Christ, so that if you ask the question, it's always going to be him answering you, right?
If you ask a question, say the last part, if you ask a question.
If you're asking, you're talking to God and you're asking him the question about a person or a building, like you said, the answer that comes to you, you can be sure that that's from God. It's not your own thoughts or it's not the devil or, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And you'll know, because when it comes from God, it usually is no matter what, it's an uplifting energy about it. You know, it's a lighter energy, and you're like, oh, that was
thank
so cool. You'll be like, you'll have the aha moment. Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, cool. Okay, Lord, oh, wow,
oh,
awesome.
Thank you. I needed to hear that. Oh, thank you.
And you'll always know it's from God.
The cobwebs
it's that by
from
that.
Everybody.
You'll always know that, Pat. It's that aha, that higher energy.
Thank you.
God's energy, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. And great question, by the way, too.
People are always afraid that it's their own thoughts. Even if they ask the question to God, they're thinking, and the question thing comes back, is it my thoughts? Is it some trickery? But if you're talking to God, well, then are you going to hear from God? It's him answering you, not something
else.
Well,
and you can even ask, God, is this from you? I mean, you'll know because it's a higher vibration. God, you know, I know a lot of people don't understand this part about God, and I could speak on volumes on it, even though I won't today. God operates in the law of energy, okay? God has all kinds of laws of physics. Those are all God's laws. He operates with the law of energy, too. A lot of people don't understand that we're just pure vibrating energy. So God's going to send the answer out to you in an energy that you can feel or sense or think, and you'll know, because when there's an angel in the room, the higher vibration is going to be there. When there's not an angel in the room, it'll be just the opposite. So God is a spirit. So he operates off of high energy, and you're going to feel the difference, and you'll know.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And, Pat, you're like the super amazing feeler. So, like, your feeling is so off the charts. It's like I never seen anyone like you. So you have a powerful feeling gift. So yours is all about feeling, and you'll feel that. That
and you know what? It's about service, because if I couldn't serve, if I couldn't give all my babies out there a mommy hug and kiss, you might as well just put me away, because I use everything to the service, to whatever I can do for anybody. If I can bring you to God, that's why I'm here.
Completely. After being saved, the most important thing, most Christians think you're saved and then you're cool and you're good to go and that's it. But they totally missed half the Bible there. After you're saved, the most important thing you can do for the kingdom is bearing fruit. In fact, Jesus was so clear about bearing fruit. He says, if you do, you're going to build your mansion in heaven. You're going to have all these gifts, blah, blah. Jesus was like, bearing fruit is so important. But he also said, if you don't bear fruit, if a tree, you know, is not bearing fruit, it'll cast into the lake of fire. Well, that sounds pretty radical. He's just basically saying, don't sit on your butt. You know, bear fruit, go help people. Bearing fruit is not like saying, well, I gave $1,000 a day to Salvation Army. Lord, am I bearing fruit? Lord's like, yeah, you gave $1,000 to Salvation Army, but when your friend called and said they needed some advice, you said you didn't have time for them. See what I'm saying? You can bear fruit all day long. You see someone in the store and they're like, I just don't know where that part of town is. And you're just standing there going, and then you leave. Well, you can help that person. There's so many ways that you can bear fruit. And the best way is to simply say, like, God, what can I do for you today? It's a great, great way. And say, God, what can I do for you today? You know, and that way you can go and advance the kingdom that way. But anyway, so the key is with you, Pat, just always like focus on, you know, you'll get that higher energy from God. You'll know it's from Him. You'll just,
yeah.
And you get a lot of stuff anyways, Pat. You get tons of stuff. I can see that. Yeah, you do.
I think you just cleared the cobwebs from everybody. I mean, thank you. That's a fantastic teaching, Keith. Thank you so much.
Keith,
yes, that
it's Christine.
Really,
I'm listening too, brother.
Oh.
Hey, sister, I love you. Christine,
I love
awesome.
You. I was like, ooh, he's teaching. Yay, I just called in. And Tressie, I prayed for you, so I'm glad you got a home and all of that stuff. I don't even know if you know who I am, Christine from Atlanta, but sticking with Judy said, I have prayed for you, so holler. Shout out. I love you, brother. But, yes, I just want to tell you I was on the line.
Christine's a powerhouse, okay? She's like somebody that, whoa, holy moly, she's got some mega powerful gifts from God. Like, just when I discern her, I go, oh, my gosh, we've been chatting and stuff, and she's got some, she'll be teaching me some lessons pretty soon here, put that way. She's got some great, powerful gifts. They just need to be, like, activated a little bit, you know? And she's already doing that. So she's going to add, I have to say, though, when I just, real quick before I'm done here, when I discern the people in RCC, I'm kind of blown away because I see a lot of people with some pretty developed gifts. I mean, God says He doesn't want us, He wants us to eat the meat, right? So what is He talking about? He doesn't want us to be a baby in Christ. He wants us to eagerly desire the gifts and develop them. Well, I have to say, a lot of the core group that we hear on the radio, and I'm sure a gob of them that don't say anything are on the chat room as well, they're like so awesome because their gifts are so developed. It's like Pat and Judy and Luca really advanced, developed gifts. It's like, wow, it's so just like, it gets me so excited because I just think ideally everybody should be just operating in all their gifts and helping each other to do even better things for the kingdom. And that's all I got to say.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. Hi, Christine. Love you, sweetie.
Love you.
Hi.
Hi, baby. Hi. Love. My baby.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, who's this? 614, who's that? On the line? I'm just trying to see, I want to tell everyone who's on the line. Leah's on the line, everyone. Hi, Leah. Leah? Okay. And 470, that's you, Christine, right? Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
So glad you're here. It's such a treat. And 614. Who's 614? I think that's Chris.
From Ohio.
That's what I thought. Okay, I don't have the number, but I have your number memorized. Okay, perfect. Yay, Chris from Ohio. Thank you for being here. So I'm going to tell you guys who's on the line. So we have Leah and Christine and Chris Slaughter from Ohio. We have Pat and Keith and Joe and Tana. So, Keith just shared something with us. Does anyone on the line have a question or anything to share with regards to what Keith was talking about or anything, really?
Just thank you.
Yeah, I just have a comment. I have a comment to say thank you to you guys because I know that I have the gift of discernment, and it used to freak me out. But, Judy, when I started listening to your videos, like, months ago and everything like that, and I was like, the Lord was pushing me to that, like, perfect love, you know, perfect love casts out fear. And it was like, even the love with him, he was showing me, like, I am not going to cause fear in you. Like, if I gifted you with this, like, it's not for you to walk around, like,
oh,
my goodness. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like with what he's talking about, it was just cool. It was like learning how to say, okay, this isn't the, you know, like I would walk into a place, for instance, and I could like almost feel like my breath was being taken out of me. Like it would be like so hot and oppressive in there and everything. And I'd start taking deep breaths. And I was like, okay, I know that there's like a lot of demonic activity in this, like, store or building or whatever it is, and I try to get out of there and everything like that, and now I don't do that, and you guys are, like, really helped me with that because, you know, I mean, I knew the right tools, and I knew what the Lord had taught me to do before, but just, like, again, having that push in the spirit forward to being, like, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in those places. You know, he's going to protect you, and he's going to give you what he wants you to do in that situation. And I would, like, obviously see the blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I would bind and rebuke. But, you know, mainly it would just be, like, now be the, shine the light of Christ.
Amen.
You know, in whatever opportunity he's presenting to you in this situation. And y'all really kind of, like, catapulted me into that. So I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, with Christine, with you, I think you just needed a little bit of encouragement. You know, I think you were feeling a little bit, you know, sometimes, you know, as a Christian, you try to develop, people will push you down. They don't want you to grow, you know, because you're going to stand out even more and be more ostracized and all that. But you just need a little bit of encouragement to stand your ground and to grow. And here we're, like, you know, we're, like, watering the seeds all the time. God's watering it. We're planting them. We're helping them, you know. Cause
yeah, that's a good
help.
Question, Keith, that you just brought up a question then. Okay, so I'm talking brother and sister in Christ here. I'm not talking, like, non-believer. I know that the Antichrist spirit and the spirit of Christ. But when you have, like, a brother or sister in Christ, like you're talking about, and you know, like, my ex-friends and things like that, and but they are literally repelled. Like, if you walk into a place, like, you can feel like they are, pushing back from you. Can you, like, just expound on that a little bit?
So you're talking about, like, Christians that,
like,
you
have
knew
the same spirit of Jesus, right?
Yes.
But
yeah,
they're still backing away, or
a lot of it because there's basically a line of you know, you decide what percentage you want to be God to be. You want God to be number one in your life, number two, number three, number four. It's very clear when you see someone where God is number one. And you see someone where God is not number one, okay? And that's kind of the big cut and divide right there. So if God is number one in your life, you're probably going to be talking about him a lot. And if he's not, you're going to be talking about the world and all that other stuff a lot. And those people are not going to want you to be around you. Your friends that you see, they may not have God number one. So they're going to feel a little threatened by you. And basically, honestly, they feel convicted, okay? Just because... they're, you know, like Smith Wigglesworth is one of the most powerful healers ever walked face earth. He used to get on the train, and when he got on the train, people get on their knees, start crying. These are sinners, okay? They start repenting.
Wow.
Like, it was, yeah, they get on their knees and repent. He said he would sit in one of the carts, like, you know, one of the carriage things, whatever, to go on a ride with someone, and by the end of it, they were just bawling their head off. They'd repent, and they'd change their whole life, start reading the Bible, you know, literally, okay? So that's – and why did they feel that way? Because the Holy Spirit was so strong in him, they felt convicted, you know?
Mm.
The key is, like, it's all about
yes,
how strong –
yes, and, you know, to your point, I just wanted to say yes, amen to that point. Like, I want to hear – but, like, I honestly could feel more comfortable sometimes in a room with non-believers than my brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes because of that very thing you're talking
about. Right, because they're basically attacking you, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. I absolutely agree. You know, I get that same thing. It comes up real strong against me, you know. For me, I stay quiet in those times, though. There's no reason to start. I don't want to start a fight. I'm not interested. I'm in about peace. And I just let them be convicted. That's what they got to do. You know, I've got Christian friends right now that are like, you know, I don't think they're going into the rapture, put it that way. But they're thinking they're headed straight into the rapture with all the Bennies, you know, while they're living for all the world and everything, you know. They know how I feel, and I've said my piece before, and I don't need to say it again. You know what I'm saying? Christine, they know how you feel. and that's it. You don't need to repeat
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, no. And sometimes it literally is just like, I said it like, I mean, everybody who knows me knows that part, you know?
Yeah.
But now, like, sometimes literally even in family or something, like extended family, I could just walk in there and it's like tumbleweed.
Attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You know, what you want to do in that situation is you want to do a flip around. You want to go, just don't even focus on the God talk, and I'm very serious. You want to just focus on love and just stay, you know, just stay in a peaceful, loving state, basically the energy of God, okay? Because you already know they feel convicted, so you don't want to get their goat. We're trying to eventually save them, so not hammer them away. So at that point, you would just, you know your stuff, and if they feel like they know their stuff, then that's fine. You know, they'll know soon enough, you know? Again, you want to discern what you're saying, right? You'd want to, when you're talking to them, right, discern their spirit. Well, this person seems really angry, this relative. So if you're discerning that, then you're thinking, well, then I definitely don't want to say anything to make them angry, because this is not,
right, exactly.
That's not how we get them, right? So that's where you really want to discern every word that you're saying to kind of encourage them, you know, with whatever you can, do the best you can. You know, but your discernment, you should go in overdrive at that point, making sure you're really saying that, you know, things that are, you know,
yeah, I usually
you, but,
do what you said.
Yeah.
Like, I stay quiet, or, like, I do what's really, really hard for me, but talk about, like, how's the weather type of stuff. Like, oh,
yeah,
how are the kids?
Yeah.
Like, holding
usually
back,
what I'll
holding
do is,
back.
Sometimes, though, if they feel like they're, you know, like you're saying, they're a little bit anti-God, a little angry, whatever, I'll just bring up, if you want to talk about the weather, I start talking about the earthquakes and volcanoes around the world. It brings them down a little bit. They start getting some fear in them, because the Bible says we can save people with fear too. It says we can use both fear or whatever it takes. So I'll bring up some of that stuff, you know, and it'll start opening them up. So they kind of know. They know you believe in God. They know you talk about it, and all of a sudden you're talking about earthquakes around the world. They know what's going down. They know where you're headed. You know what I mean? So there's different ways you can
do. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate that, because that was the one thing that, like you said, I'm really impressed by that Wigglesworth, you know, story. But it was just like sometimes I wouldn't talk about it, I wouldn't say anything, but I feel like friends or family or whatever, like they would just like, you know, kind of, like I said, not necessarily be around me in certain situations or whatever. And I, it's not like I like beat them over the head or anything like that. It's just like I could feel it in the spiritual realm. Like I could feel the dispersing.
Good. Yeah, just you're doing a great job, and that's what you want to do. That's when you want to always use the discernment, so you're not causing strife in places. That's when you want to really use that discernment even more. You know, you want to be, because you can lead someone right to where the Lord wants them by just discerning what you're saying again, and not, you know, that you already know how they feel, so you're gonna just be extra cautious. You know, great question though, super good question.
Oh no, thank you. I there's something you said that I was like, yeah, while you're at that, so thank you.
You got it, Christine.
Beautiful. Well, does anyone else have any questions for Keith or insights or comments? Okay. All right, so who on the line?
Anybody in the chat room?
Let me look. Let's look in the chat room. Does anybody? No? Let's look. Okay. Well, we're going to do the final countdown. That's our RCC song until we our family up. And that's probably be up by tomorrow if we're here. Let's see. Anyone on the line is able to do communion. We have Christine and Leah and Joe and Chris Slaughter. How about you do it, Chris Slaughter? Can you do communion with us for us, and then we'll play our final countdown song? Chris Slaughter.
I choose you, Pikachu. Okay, maybe not. Joe, do you want to lead us in communion? Okay, then I'm going to have to force it.
I can, Judy. Sorry. I just have my hands full. Okay, communion. Yes. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, I'm actually ready. Okay.
try it rather than succeed. What we're doing is something our Lord asked us to do in remembrance of him, so that's what we're going to do right now. At the Last Supper, he gave thanks over bread, broke it, said, "This is my body," which is in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Later in the meal, he did likewise, respecting the cup, also saying, "This means the new covenant by virtue of my blood. Keep doing this in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. For as often as you eat this loaf and drink this cup, you keep proclaiming the death of the Lord until he arrives."
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. By your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Forever, forever worship you. Thank you.
Well,
love it. I love it. Just love it.
Love it.
Thank you. Oh, I know. It's like the trumpets of earth joining with the trumpets of heaven. That's what gets me. And then I love the part, there's no one to blame, you know. That is like, wow, you know. Like, who are you going to blame? It's just something that's wonderful that's going to happen, and it's going to change everything forever like it's never been changed, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, it's just very powerful. You can't put it in words what you feel when you hear those trumpets. Yeah.
Hey, Judy, it's Christine.
Yeah.
Oh, my husband just wants to say hi because he never met. Like, I mean, he talked to the morning show. I don't know if he talked to the evening. So he's cooking, so he has no time to share stories or anything. But I just wanted him to say hi to you guys. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Welcome
on.
Hey.
Would you love Aaron?
Hi, is Jesus here yet?
Oh, he's been here, honey.
No, he needs to take us home.
Oh, keep asking.
Come on now.
Amen.
Seriously.
You are right. Amen.
This world is getting crazy and awful, and we got to get out of here.
Amen.
We got to take a whole bunch of people with us. So.
Yeah.
All right, well,
tell them what you're making.
Oh, why don't you tell them what I'm making? She wants me to tell you guys what I'm making and make you guys feel awful about the fact that you're not having shrimp with garlic and cream sauce over linguine. That's not right.
We're coming over. We're coming over.
That's not right. How can she do that to you guys? That's
I
awful.
Mean, popcorn.
Well, that sounds good.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll be our Sabbath dinner for this evening. So you guys have a great Sabbath.
Thank you,
right.
Aaron. Love you.
All right, take care.
Love you.
He hates when I put him on the spot, but I was like, you're going to say hi to my family.
He's got awesome energy because I've been tuning into his energy lately for some reason, and he's just, like, got great. He's such a great guy. Just, I never even met him, but it's like, lately I've been getting impressions of him. I'm like, gosh, Lord, he's a great guy, but he's cool.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Oh, he is, yes.
You're very blessed, honey.
Thank you.
Christine, wondering... And that felt really fun to be invited into your kitchen because this is the rapture-centric reality. Really, it was.
I think he told somebody one day that he would get those, like, little MRE packs, I guess, or whatever, and send them out to y'all if you want.
Oh.
But I don't know how shrimp would do.
Oh, my goodness.
That's cute.
Well, no. God has shown us that he's going to heal the RCC of any ailments in their bodies, in their minds, anything. I was wondering if, Christine, you could pray a healing prayer, and we're all going to agree with it, and then we're going to do a worship song, and we're going to thank God for healing his RCC body even more, even up until the day arrives. And we're going to believe God to do that in our bodies, souls, and spirits until he gets here. Would you want to do a prayer for us?
Sure, of course. Yeah, I feel honored. Okay. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all of who you are. We bless your holy name. We thank you that you are Yahweh Rafi. You are the God who heals. And that's not just in people who have physical pain right now, but mental and emotional torment. And we know that through this, you will bring them into your peace, your perfect peace. You say him whose mind is steadfast on you, you bring into perfect peace. So I thank you for that, Father God. And I just lift up my brothers and sisters and everybody who we're connected with, whether they're believers or part of the RCC or not. I lift up everybody that we're connected with who is battling some ailment, some affliction. And I pray, Lord, that they would know that this is not for naught. Because Jesus took upon himself everything on that cross, and we just thank you that he defeated death, and that includes sickness and anything that comes against us in that way as well. So with the blood of Jesus Christ, I pray that over everybody that's either listening, that we come in contact with, that we're even bonded with either by bloodline or in the spirit, and I pray that they would be affected by you, that the spirit that is within us and called us back unto you, reconciling us through Christ to you, would pierce them, and they would know that, and they would be overcome, and they would weep, and they would allow you to do the work in them that brings about that healing. Some have wounds because of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, Lord. So I just pray right now that they would trust you, that they would put their hope completely in you, and that they would release anything that they're holding on to that is maybe something that you're showing them through this. And so, Lord, I pray all that, and we believe that we've received it in the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach.
Amen. We agree.
And you
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to worship you together. I want to welcome Dustin. Dustin. Mm-hmm. Dustin, we're so glad you're here.
Hey there, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, Dustin.
Hello there.
Hey, Dustin. Love you, brother.
Uh-oh. My husband has a bone to pick with you, Dustin.
What's the bone?
Dustin Wrong is lame.
I know this. Tell me about it.
Yeah. All you had to do was call before you headed out of town. You could have saved the day. My wife left her bottle of water in the van. We could have gone and brought her a fresh, cold bottle of water. She could have met Dustin Wrong in the flesh before he had to bounce to South Carolina. What's that?
I actually tried, man. I tried. I asked my mom, did she want to do it, and she kind of, I guess she didn't want to. She maybe
had
something to do with it.
I get it. Okay, that's how fast that goes.
Yeah, I'm throwing
mom under the bus. If you're going to roll your mom under the bus, at least say beep,
yeah.
Beep.
Beep, beep. Throwing her under the bus, brother.
That's all good, mom. That's cool. Take it easy, man. We'll talk to you later.
Love you, Aaron.
Oh, that's funny.
Country Bumpkins from Atlanta. I love you guys.
I know. And I also want to welcome Alana. Oh, wait, Alana just dropped. Darn it. Okay. All right. So, Dustin, share. You have all your buddies on the line. We got family here. Anna, Joe, and
hey, Tana.
Pat.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Pat.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Dustin.
Yeah.
Christine.
And
everybody.
Everybody.
Hi, Dustin.
How you doing there, brother? God is good. I got to see my brother earlier, my brother who's in the county jail. Got to see him for the first time in 2014.
Wow.
It was wonderful talking to him, exciting him with some stuff. He was very excited.
God.
I thought I was going to be able to get him to call in, but I couldn't actually bring my phone and my belongings into the waiting room to talk to him, so I couldn't do that. But it was a wonderful, wonderful meeting with him. I love him. He gave me a big hug. Nobody's really gone to see him since he's been in, so he definitely appreciated that. And then what I had to tell him about everything going on, it's very exciting to him. So I told him to keep his head up. He's gonna be all right. He's gonna feel the earth shake while he's in there, and he's gonna get raptured out of there. It's gonna be an escape.
Oh, amen.
Not just him. It's the prisoners all around the world. So that's incredible.
Wow.
And God told me earlier, you guys, he was telling me that we're the ones leaving around the blood moon, and the rapture is going to be a week or so after that. And the way he told me this was there's this thing called the Grand Cross Alignment that is going to come around the 23rd, 22nd to the 24th, around there. And it's when the planets form an alignment that makes a cross in the sky.
Yeah.
And I know before the study with that was that a lot of people believed that that cross would appear during the day of the Lord on the great earthquake day.
Wow.
So we don't know that for a fact, but that's what people have speculated before now. But this alignment is actually lined up for around the 22nd and 23rd, a week after the blood moon. And it'll be around a month after 322 or whatever. But and then check this out. Our sister Katie had a dream last month, and we were trying to find the interpretation, but I believe this may be it. In her dream, God told her, he said a week, and then he said the 15th. Now, even this month, we thought that could have been a week before the 15th, and now I think what God's saying is we're leaving around the blood moon, and then a week later, the rapture will happen.
Awesome. So, oh, man. Oh, I can't wait. Oh.
It's exciting,
but I think it's after, too, Dustin, because after, I think Passover is like 7 days. That must make sense why it came after that 15th.
Mm-hmm. What is up, Keith? Brother Keith?
Hey. Yeah, hey.
But, man, that's it's incredible. You showed me that earlier, then I was thinking about Katie. And, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
No.
So that's definitely exciting. I think we're the ones leaving around this blood moon, and then a week later, it'll be that. And then check this out. The 22nd is actually Earth Day. So a week after the blood moon, if the rapture did happen, well, Earth Day. What happens on Earth Day? People disappear from Earth for the first time ever on Earth Day.
Very cool. Judy don't believe we're going on the blood moon because she got issues with the blood moon stuff. But so you, all of us are going to get raptured, but her on that day because she don't like the red blood moon.
Yeah. We'll leave Donkey Judy behind. That's fine, Judy. You can stay here.
Good job.
The wife, Jack. toilet paper. You guys know that, right?
You know what? What'd you say?
I like Blood Moon toilet paper. I like that. I like that stuff.
Blood Moon toilet paper?
You ain't going on the Red Blood Moon. We're going, and she'll be here, still talking to the Lord about how she has an issue with it, and we'll be up in heaven eating the food and up there in the feast. So.
Well, I'm going between now and Palm Sunday, so I don't know what you guys can go on the Blood Moon. I'm going between now and Palm Sunday, which is, you know.
I'm going with you.
Sounds good.
I'm going with you, Tom.
Tana.
I'm going with Tana. Switch sides.
Amen.
Raina, in the chat.
Christine, I have a wish for you that we elope before you eat that good food tonight that your husband's making.
That'll be great with me. That'll be spectacular. Well, I'll have the perfected version of the meal up there at the wedding feast.
Yummy.
Super.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you guys listen to this. Check this out. My local news, there was an article. Well, this is a news story that at the local college, community college, someone wrote in the bathroom stalls that a warning for April 11th and said something like, "We're all going to die and you've been warned."
Really?
And God really told me that. I mean, he told me it wasn't a student who was up with that. He said that was someone else higher up that knows what's happening, and they were doing that to kind of like to let people know, you know, kind of like a warning. But it was for today, so they were like, they had a bunch of security at the college today thinking something would happen today, but in the fall someone just wrote, "We're all going to die, you've been warned," or something like that, something creepy for April 11th. But it's just a confirmation. We can look at that as a confirmation from God. It's like, you know, judgment is coming. It's nothing to worry about, but it is coming with us leaving. So very peculiar, very peculiar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll be shell-shocked if we absolutely do not go by the Red Blood Moon. I will be very, 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 very shocked.
No, I will too, Keith. I will too, Keith. But God kind of gave me like a time frame for us to, like, for a translation around like the 15th to the 17th, and then a rapture maybe around the 22nd to the 24th, around that time frame. You know, and even if it's not then, we know that we're any day now, and anytime the date has passed or what we expected didn't come to pass, God always lets us know. So that's why there's never been a worry, and especially at this time, more than ever, there's no worry. God has us, and he's going to lead us and let us know what's going on. But you see all the things we're getting. I mean, it's just like he's saying it's now, though. He's not saying, you know. Mm-hmm. We got Katie graduating Alabama. I mean, guys are screaming at me. Katie has been in college at Alabama University for 4 years now, hard-working years. And for her to come up to this is not a coincidence. She's supposed to graduate May 3rd. I do not think she'll be graduating here. I think she'll be graduating out of the flesh by May 3rd. Then we got I love Mother's Day, the whole Mother's Day thing on May 11th, because God's saying the children will be gone, so it's just fun, man. This is really it.
Then there's Easter, which day is Easter on Sunday. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 20th. That's Resurrection Day. That's Resurrection Day, so, you know, it always makes sense.
You got Pat's Pizza Day coming up.
I promise no shrimp on it.
Make sure.
Unless you want it.
We got to get some bacon pizza.
Oh, with the sausage and peppers. It's delish.
Delish.
Amen. Delish. Oh, boy.
Sounds good.
That's their favorite here.
I love it.
Oh, wow.
Can't wait. I talked to our brother Jason Chambers earlier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I talked to Jason. Jason's doing well. He's doing well. He says the Lord's leading him, he's getting closer with him. So he has him doing some reading.
Okay.
He's kind of been doing, like, some reading lately. So.
Oh.
Yeah, he just texted me that he made it through Numbers. He started at the beginning. And he was all proud about making it through the Book of Numbers.
Oh, wow.
He probably doesn't know his numbers. That's probably why the Lord's having him do that.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
Good.
Well,
I'm
in prayer.
Yeah.
Also, there was a 7.4 today over in the Solomon Islands. That's huge. A lot of 7.0s and above. Yeah, 7.4 top of Australia somewhere. Yeah.
New Guinea.
I mean, just the fact that almost every single big one is over 7.0 these days. That
I know.
Okay, it used to happen every 300 years. Now it's happened about every freaking 10 days.
I know.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And then they had a 6.6 earthquake, you know, and then Chile has more earthquakes, 4 point something, 5 point something, so that's going on.
Yeah, Chile
had that
8.0,
there's so many,
right?
You don't even hear them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one after the other.
Well, I always look at what the, when it first comes out, because the U.S. government is scandalous these days, and they try to lower it. Like, if it's a 7.2 or 7.1, they'll say it's a 6.9, 6.8. They always go under.
Yeah.
But
they do that.
Reality is, like, when you're seeing a lot of 7.0s and then that 8.0 recently, the next step's going to be that 9 or 10. See, it's building. It's all building.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
LA, that'll be the L.A. one where I'm at, right under my apartment. That's where it'll be.
Oh, boy.
People are like, oh, my gosh, are you nervous? Oh, no, I make sure my apartment's right over the quake line because I'm going to heaven either way. I'm gone. I'm ready. Oh, no.
We're getting translated before the big E anyway.
Praise God.
Oh.
There you go. Keith, are you out there in California?
Yeah, I'm in L.A. right,
oh, wow.
Right in West Hollywood, right over the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a powerful prophecy in the 50s. It was a real powerful woman for the Lord, and she had a really, really powerful dream that she was taken to Century City, which is about a mile away from it's about a mile away from Beverly Hills, half a mile maybe, where I'm at. And she was taken to shown a high-rise building, and she was taken up in the high-rise building in Century City, which is it's a few miles from the ocean. So she was taken up there, and she looked around and she saw a 10 feet in the air. The land started rolling from the east up. It was from the San Andreas Fault. The land started rolling up in a big kind of like tidal wave coming towards her, 10 feet off the ground, because the earthquake had hit. And then to the west, the tsunami started with 10 feet off the ground, rolling also towards her, because California got hit with a big 10.0 quake. And right before it hit her, she said, Lord, I'm either going to die or something's going to happen. And right before it touched her, the Holy Spirit lifted her up, and she looked around, and all the saints were wearing white because the rapture had occurred.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
Any time deal?
Amen. That's so awesome. He's showing other people this earthquake, the major earthquake.
Yeah.
Like I had a friend from school that had a rapture dream recently, and God showed him a major quake what happened right before the rapture.
Wow.
So it's so awesome that he kind of gave us the pieces to that, but he didn't, like, directly tell us that, and now he's showing people around the world he will do that. He's just so merciful, man. He wants people to make the rapture, not even to be left behind. He wants you to make that. And it's going to shake for a long time. I mean, the longest shaking quake we'll have, like, some people will say, have said in their dreams and visions, it's like 20 minutes long, 30 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
But you'll know, like, something is happening to this planet right now.
Oh, yeah.
There was that kid that had, in the 70s, he had 7 dreams, 7 nights in a row, and it really shook his... He had physical movement in the house going on. The Lord was doing some supernatural, crazy stuff going on there in his house. And he was very alarmed by it. And then every night he would have a powerful dream. And it was always about he was walking down Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, and it was sunny. And he kept thinking that the people's clothes dressed really weird because he came from a different era. And he said, the people look really weird. They're wearing, like, weird clothes and mini skirts. He said, the girls' skirts are so high. I've never seen that. It's weird. And the guys had, like, these piercings, what is that, you know, and all this stuff. And then he tried to look at the newspaper to see the date, but he wasn't able to see it. Basically, every single time it showed that there was going to be a huge quake in Los Angeles, and then the earthquake, the rapture would occur. He saw that for 7 nights in a row. It was pretty famous.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
That's so awesome.
At the door.
Whew. Yeah, we're going to be hugging each other and crying all over each other in a second.
Oh, amen.
Uh-huh. That's for sure. Running around screaming.
Destin's going to be crying. Pat, give him the tissue right now in case he starts crying.
No, here, right through the phone.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to cry, but you don't see that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see Destin
cry.
We're going to cry. Probably.
I don't doubt
finally
that at
become
all.
Incorruptible.
Joy.
Yeah, finally become incorruptible. I'm a ball, man.
Yeah. boy.
It's going to be awesome, though, man. It's just so awesome. Hey, I love having, I love talking to Keith. Keith on here as well. Keith, you're awesome, man.
Aw, you're so sweet. I like you, Duffy. You're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You
just want to kiss your, just want to kiss your forehead.
Aw, you're so sweet.
No, you're not too serious, man. Don't, not that serious.
Brother kiss.
Brother kiss. There you go.
I'll give him a kiss. Hello, great guy.
Man, yeah, you're rapture updates. I've watched no since the beginning.
These big quakes are building up stuff, you know. It's ready to happen.
Yeah.
Justin.
Every day. Go ahead.
Yes.
And you were saying some, like the 17th, when we were talking about this, you were talking about 17th, like the other day on the morning show, right?
Uh-huh.
Because Julian calendar, that's actually April 4th. It's 13 days, like, later. So that's actually April, the 17th is actually April 4th, which is what people were getting earlier, that it was going to be the 4th, so.
Mm. You're right. You're right. Good observation.
It's awesome, man. There's so much going on with this month. There's just like no other month that we've been waiting on. Well, and Carriott said 2 days ago that, you know, Iran was 2 months away, 60 days away from having the bomb, having everything to do the nuclear bomb. So Israel better, you know, they better wake up. They better wake up and start going after them, because I don't think the peace treaty is going to be signed by then, but there's probably going to be a war, so Israel's probably going to have to move in real fast. I mean, if they're going to have the bomb in 60 days, Israel's going to have to, you know, they're going to have to go wipe out. Mm-hmm.
That too.
To wipe out the nuclear sites real quickly in Iran. That'll be, and that's every time in the past they've been at war on those red blood moons, so it makes sense, the timing here.
Yeah.
And God's just telling me right now, it's going to be nuclear war on U.S. soil this summer. This summer, this country will have fallen. It will not be the same. Babylon will have fallen by the summertime. This is like that summer. This is summer.
We out.
It was kind of obvious, but he's just like saying that with you, saying that, Keith. He's like, yeah, this war, this nuclear war will begin this summer, and things will be changed.
Well, right now, it's like people don't ever pay attention. The Lord always showed me about Fukushima. No one paying attention to that. That thing is so close to having the biggest nuclear bomb set off right there. I mean, they've got all those rods they got to take out of the fissure, the cement, and if they move them in the wrong direction, you can have a whole nuclear explosion. There's no... The water has gone out of that thing. It is like a waiting nuclear bomb to go off, and the world just ignored it. So, you know, that's another sign that God has said that would go off on the tribulation time, you know, our departure.
There's so much radiation poisoning the water and the land anyway.
Oh,
you know, even besides that, I mean, very bad.
Oh,
very
really,
bad.
Really, really
pollution.
Bad.
Yeah. And we don't either hear about it or we don't read about it. And sometimes people don't want to read the stuff because they don't want to know.
It's true, Pat. They don't want to talk about it. It makes people fear. A lot of people, when they hear about these end time events, they feel very fearful. You know, but it's really weird. I never feel any fear at all. But a lot of people making me feel really afraid. Should I feel afraid? Like, this is when I talk to sinners. They're like, I feel really in fear. Should I feel fear? I'm like, well, I'm leaning on God, so I don't feel any fear. But you might, because you don't. So, I mean, I'm like... You know, you got to, I don't feel any fear with it.
Like if you don't think about it, maybe it's not there.
Yeah.
Remember the other day I was talking about Atlanta Brave?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You're Brave.
Atlanta Brave, I think God was showing me, well, if everybody doesn't know, he was showing me the A for Atlanta Braves and everything like that. Anyway, I think they had opening night tonight. Because he was showing me, the Tower of Babel coming down. This was years ago, and I don't even, I mean, I just kind of pondered it in my heart, and I didn't really get too much on it until the other day I went to the city, and I saw the big A, and I said, oh, my gosh, I remember that vision. And it was about Babylon, like, you know, the fall of Babylon, basically. And there was the A there, and tonight's opening night, and then I think on the same night that, like, what did Rhodey got, like, his son or whatever got about, like, the Miami Heat and stuff like that. Well, I don't know, but I think they play Philadelphia on April 14th.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I think
that's
very
interesting.
Thing,
huh? Interesting. Yeah, that was what Rhodey talking about. Okay, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Wow. And for me, that's what his son got, but for me, I got Atlanta Braves. And I just looked up their schedule right now because I was seeing on Facebook all these people posting, oh, you know, Brave season started. And I was like, let me look up their schedule. And I was like, okay, I have to
wow.
do that.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow, your Heat, your Miami Heat play on the 14th and 16th. And that's just amazing.
And guess
the 16th
what?
Is
yes.
their last game. The 16th
they
is their last game.
They play on the 14th
season.
And 16th also, and they play Philadelphia
wow.
both days.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
Look it up yourself.
Oh.
They play the,
yeah,
they play Rhodey the same team
those
twice.
On the screen. Yeah.
Christine, do they play the same team twice or something?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
That's not even,
yeah,
that's not even
like
normal.
What?
Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I
no, I mean, I, unless I'm looking at it wrong, I see April 11th, you know, I see, I don't know. I mean, you can look at it, but.
Wow.
So you see
I
Philadelphia had, twice for, like, the 14th and 16th.
Yeah, I mean, unless I'm looking at something wrong, but somebody else can look it up if they want.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not even normal for, like, a basketball team to do that.
Rhodey has seen those in his dream. I think he saw those particular players and those teams playing. So, yeah, makes sense. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
wow.
and for me, I thought it was interesting because this was, again, like 5 years ago that I had that, and all I kept seeing was the A,
wow.
the Atlanta A, and you see that everywhere, obviously, around here. And
yeah.
I really didn't think too much about it. Like, when I first got the vision, I was like, okay, do you want me to pay attention to this, Lord? Like, what, like, I kind of got what he told me about, you know, something coming down, you know, obviously with the Tower of Babel and everything like that, but, like, I really didn't. Honestly, paid too much attention after I didn't get any more further insight. And then it wasn't until literally last week, right, I called you and Jason
yeah.
in the morning show, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I was like, this vision that happened, like, you know, 5 years ago, whatever's making sense to me now. And when I saw that Atlanta Braves sign, and so it was something, again, for the Lord to give me and, you know, show me for, you know.
Thanks for sharing, man.
Christine, how old will your twins be on the 15th?
My twins will be four.
Four.
Oh. My youngest will be four on Passover, and we won't be here, I know, but my oldest will turn 17 on Pentecost.
Right, June.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, but 17. He told me we wouldn't be here for her. I mean, she'll be 16 in heaven. He told me that. So.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and also, which is interesting, too, that movie Heaven Is For Real, you remember about the
yes.
kid that went to heaven?
Yeah, 20th.
That's, I looked up today, it's coming out on the 16th.
On the 16th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was
wow.
Easter. Oh,
so
my
that
gosh.
All, like, in other words, you know, pay attention, world, because, you know,
holy
if that's for real.
Hello.
Wow.
Heaven Is For Real. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It comes out in theaters on
book.
The 16th.
On the 16th, yeah, and it's weird because, you know, the world is completely not, they're anti-God these days, so something's going on that all these movies would be about the Bible and about, I mean, I know they're not perfect, but it don't matter. The point is that even the studios in this town would even affirm them because they're so anti all that stuff. We've got all these
exactly.
titles about God, and we've got Heaven Is For Real out on the 15th. I mean, and this is rapture time. It's like, it
yeah.
makes, I mean, you know, last year they'd be like, we're not into God at all, but this year they're playing all this stuff. It's wild. It's really wild.
And it helps them
together.
Get the word out to the people to help to get them prepared.
Yep. Oh, it's a clear
yeah.
word to people. Wake up, wake up. And they said in that Noah theater, there was one theater where they played that Noah movie, and it was a real flood that happened in the building. And people were all shooken up, and there was an earthquake that happened. Another one watched it, and there was an earthquake that happened that day, and they're all freaking out. And there you
wow.
go. Wake up. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. I mean, if you see a movie at the box office about Noah, everybody that is a non-Christian, they know what Noah is, Noah and Ark. They ain't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see that, they're like, you know, what's going on in the world? Plus, we got this Noah movie, you know. Put it together. You know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, right after your son, you had your Son of God movie, too.
Yeah,
March.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And then the Bible, remember they did the Bible series, and that was a huge this earlier, I think last year, that was a huge success all around the world. So, yeah, Son of Man. That's,
I think Bill Clinton was on Late Night somewhere recently talking about aliens coming to Earth.
Yeah. Saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, buddy.
I know.
We are the aliens. We got to get out of here.
Good point.
we're aliens on Earth.
God told me that
Earth.
The other
That's
day, too. He did. He did. He was like, you're aliens in this world. It's time to leave.
Yep. For real. Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. What's going to be exciting this week coming up right here? I definitely don't think we're going to be here, man. It's just, it's so different than any other time. That's why when we talk about it, you feel it in your spirit. You know, even some of the same things that we've been talking about for a few weeks now, it's just, they're incredible. They're rare occurrences, super rare. They're just like huge, and you know, it's just exciting to see where we're going to be. Christine's twins turning 4. This is the 4th month. There's a number.
Mm. You know, you can feel the urgency in the spirit big time. Mm-hmm. That's why Dustin's making all his videos. He's feeling so connected to the earth and stuff these days, making all his videos about clean time.
Making videos about people dying.
No, you're naked in all your videos. You're making your
naked.
Shirt off. You're feeling connected to the earth. You're ready to go. He's already dropped
yeah, dude,
his clothes
true.
Off. He's like, Lord,
I
have to strip
down.
Clothes off.
I'm like,
ready
Lord.
To go up.
Exactly. You brought me in this way, Lord. I'm trying to go out this way. Let's do it. I didn't even think about that when I made a video, but
yeah,
then he told me,
like,
he's like, I had to do that.
You're prepared for the rapture ahead of time. You know, you see those videos where their clothes are on the ground.
Yeah, I wonder if that's really gonna, if it's really going to happen like that. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Just to leave clothes behind.
In a second, we're going to be gone. It's pretty fast. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I'm going to consult God about is that when we get translated, will we be able to interact with each other? And I'm pretty sure we will because we're getting translated together. So when we come back after we get translated, we'll be able to, like, see each other. We'll probably be the only being that we can interact with. Can't interact with the humans. We're still here, but we'll be able to touch them and pray for them while we're around them and fill them with the Holy Spirit.
You're talking about, like, helping the 144,000?
I'm talking about before the rapture, like, when we get translated.
Yeah.
I think God's been showing us that, you know, that you can console God about it, maybe. This is a scenario that when we get translated, we'll come back to the earth to actually help people out, kind of like the 144 would do. And Kenneth yesterday brought up a good verse that talked about a different group of people being sealed besides the 144,000.
I love that. That was excellent.
What was that?
Thank you, Kenneth.
Who was it being sealed?
It would have to be us. It would have to be the translated bride because if he seals you, that means he needs to protect you. You're going to a place that you need to be sealed, so we would have to be, like, coming back to Earth or something, man. That's just...
Where do you see that? Was that then Revelation about being sealed in the foreheads, or what verse was it was talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I think
he
it
did
was Revelation,
talk about that.
Wasn't it?
He was going to where, I don't remember what verse it is, but he was going to where God talks about, like, in the different churches, the overcomers. And then, there's one where he was talking about the overcomers and then, yes, being sealed in the, in... The head and the forearm.
Yes, yeah.
That was awesome.
I'm pretty sure that's referring to the 144,000 being sealed during the tribulation period, though.
Yeah, so what about, Keith, so then what about, what Dustin's bringing up, like, if you still feel like you have insight or, like, the Lord's like, you're not put under the 144,000, but you still have, like, visioned or about, like, darkness or being here in some type of, you know, glorified body or, you know, helping, and it's not Armageddon, it's not, like, things wrapping up, like, it's, like, the beginning of things. Would you say that you're just 144,000 then, or, like, what?
Who are you talking to, Christine?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, I'm just asking you, like, what you think about that, Keith.
Oh, well, I'm not part of 144,000. Me personally, I think it's going to be. I think the Lord has. Usually, people will know because the Lord starts talking about the 144 in a way that they'll understand. Tell them they're going to have a partner. I know a lot of people on YouTube that have already been told who their partner will be because you're going to be paired up in two, assisting the 144,000. I'm going to stay in heaven. Some people are going to stay up there, and some people are coming back.
I do think the verse that Kenneth brought up, it was a separate verse that he was talking about a separate group of people being sealed other than the 144,000.
I'd have to know where. I know the Bible pretty well, and I don't know that verse. That's why I'm interested where he saw that. I'd like to see that.
I believe
that,
he did say Revelation, Keith. I believe. I'm not sure what verse.
I think it's Revelation 3.
Yeah, it is Revelation, but I don't remember where he said either.
Maybe 3.
If we skim through it, we will definitely probably find it. But I don't think it was the one about the 144, because he would have said that it wasn't the verse where he says he sealed up, I think.
I do feel, though, from what I've been told from the Lord, that not everyone will be assisting 144. Only some of the bride will come back. There's like 5 groups. You know, if you remember, there's a lot going on because there's like 5 groups. You've got your sinners. You've got your lukewarm Christians who might be staying behind. You've got your first fruits, you know, which is like the bride going up. You've got some of the bride coming back. You've got like 5 different groups, and you've got your Jewish people. So God's dealing with 5 different groups. That's why there's going to be multiple things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because we were saying
that some of us were still having, like, I'm not part of the 144,000 either, but I have had visions of being here when darkness starts. So that was what was
so that,
like.
Yeah, so you're assisting. You are part of the 144,000. You're not the 144, but you're assisting them as part of the bride 15. So, yeah, you're going to be helping them.
Okay, definitely.
We just call it 144K on here on RCC, but we basically mean working with the 144. But yeah, so you are Christine. You're gonna have a partner, so God might reveal who that partner is. You know.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I said, "Am I part of the 144,000?" he said, "No." It's like, but
you are definitely part of the 144.
Oh wow.
If you've gotten those dreams or whatever you just said, where you're seeing the tribulation stuff, you're part of it. That's how God will tell you directly. That's it. Dustin, you're part of the 144. You already know that, I'm sure. You're helping them, I mean. And do you know who your partner is?
I'm not quite sure who my partner is, but God did show me that I was going to be a part of that. He kind of showed
me that.
Yeah,
he told me that just now about you. He just told me that about you. So you don't know who your partner is. Okay, you got to figure that out. Mm-hmm.
So he's part of 144. He knows you've been told that, Dustin, right?
God told me just now that Dustin was part of it, and then which is cool, because then he just sit there and said that he is. God told him.
And then I'm not. You said I'm not, right? But I'm assisting them.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, we call it 144. We mean the same thing. So you're being working with them. But yeah, you're part of the group. Mm-hmm. You're going to be assisting them.
Okay.
And everybody will be working together, but you're right. Like people will be like partnering up, but sometimes it'll be like a bigger group than that doing different missions, because we will be doing different missions when we come back.
Yeah, well, there's a guy like in the go ahead, Dustin.
We'll do missions like saving people from camps, concentration camps, leading people to safety, you know, just like all kind of stuff like that.
There's a guy too, like in the world now, that God showed him where like he gets people together like in a group, which like Dustin's talking about, and all of a sudden they disappear from China to the U.S. in 1 second. So that's how you guys are going to travel. You're going to be doing this translating from one place to the next.
That's transporting.
It's called, transporting. Yeah, that's it. And the guy can do it when he asks the Lord, and that's the Lord. That's how those people will be traveling, because time is of essence. They'll be traveling here, there, to you know, save people from all this crazy stuff going on. It's from the government.
Covering
the government's going to be trying to kill the people, too. So if they're going to try to kill you, you're going to transport right out of there. So, yeah, Christine, you'll be part of that. Dustin will be part of that. You know, I'll be up there eating chicken up in heaven and stuff, so I'll be rooting you guys on and stuff, but, you know.
You guys will be able to see through the clouds and pray for
and
strengthen
us up. Yeah, I'll
be like, there's
Dustin, oh my gosh, be careful. I'll be like, could you pass some more of the food up there? Thank you so much. You guys be like,
But no, don't think you're not getting your hands dirty. You're coming back down for Armageddon, buddy.
No, I ain't coming down.
All the males that get raptured or resurrected will be fighting in Armageddon together. It's only the males.
Yeah, but I'm going to ride the horse in the back, because I'm going to be relaxing and stuff.
Nah, Keith, we putting you on the front line, homie. You're going straight in. You're kicking the door down first, and then you go in. We're coming behind you.
Pat and I are going to have a nice, relaxing meal with Jesus up there, and you guys are going to be, like, doing all the crazy stuff, and we're going to be up there all relaxed. It'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. But, yeah, Christine, you're definitely part of it. So, Christine, you can start asking God, like, who your partner is, because, like, my friend Brian, OT4Jesus on YouTube, Brian's been knowing that Lord was telling him 144, 144, so he knew that he was part of the group, you know, to help with the group. then all of a sudden, you know, Fire Charger, who's also on YouTube, most people know him as well, he was told, all of a sudden started seeing the 144 numbers too. And then next thing you know, God told them that each of them, they're their partners together. So now they know that's their partner. Mm-hmm. So, figure out.
I know our friend Allison Bullock is a part of the 144,000.
There you go.
Haven't heard from her recently, but I know God's having her in good hands. That's when God kind of first showed me that I was when I met up with her, and God kind of showed us. And she was telling me that stuff before, and I told her I didn't believe it. She was like, yeah, Dustin, the 144 will be paired up, and there's going to be marriage in heaven and stuff. I was like, I don't really know about all that. I don't know. But it's going to be awesome, man. God, everything we got here came from the kingdom first. All the bonds, everything that we can have, we're going to have it. It's going to be pure. It's going to be made holy. We're going to enjoy it forever. And then me and Luke, our brother Luke, he's in the 144,000. We're going to be doing the Chippendales dancing so we can make people laugh through the trip. We're going to do a little dance routine.
Oh, man, do that.
Lighting people up.
Oh, man.
Nah, man.
Doesn't have his shirt off. He's showing off.
Nah, man. It would be fun just to make people laugh, just to make people smile, because it's like making people happy.
But that's what I recommend to all the bride that's listening, to ask the Lord if they're part of helping with the 144, and it's like totally something interesting they can find out. And usually God will tell you, and many times he'll tell you a partner too, so somebody will be contacting you saying, you know, we've been friends forever and I think I'm part of the 144, and you're like, oh yeah, I am too, like, you might be partners. So I always encourage people to ask. You should ask too, Pat, and Luca should ask, and everyone, Judy should ask. I think Judy already is a part of it, but find out who your partner is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. We're going to work together for the glory of the kingdom. Billions are going to come to Christ. It's going to be awesome to see it. You guys are going to be watching it like a movie and strengthening us up, praying for us when we need strength while you're watching us do different things, and it'll strengthen us up. And it'll be awesome, man. It's just crazy because we're literally going to be here in May doing this. God is telling me right now that we will be back here in May doing this. You know, he told me, he said, this is the fourth age. We're going into the fifth age, which is the Great Tribulation. That's why this will happen from the fourth month going into the fifth month. We will be in the fifth age next month. We will be full-scale Great Tribulation next month. It'll be all-out war. The summer's going to start off like that, but we'll be gone. So praise God for that. All our families. And I know Raina, God kind of showed Raina, and yeah, Let's ask God more about it, because I know he's going to show us like he's been doing. He's going to keep showing us more until we get out of here. But he had kind of told Raina in her dream that he would ask us, what's one thing you want me to do for you before the worldwide rapture? When we get translated, we're going to appear before God, and he says, what do you want me to do for you before the rapture? And then that kind of translated into him showing some of us that he's actually going to send us back in glorified bodies before the rapture to touch people's souls and minds and drop the Holy Spirit on them so that God softens their heart up for the worldwide earthquake and the rapture coming. And I think that maybe we'll be here until the rapture happens. When we get translated, we'll be here. Then when the earth shakes, we'll go up with everyone else. And that'll be kind of our cue where we're done reaching people that we could reach before the rapture. But in one day in the glorified body, you'd be able to reach so many people, just hundreds and thousands of people. So that's just exciting, man. We're going to be able to touch so many people, bring them to God. It's exciting. I hear crickets. Beep, beep, beep.
Hello.
Hello, family. Hello, hello. So let's see, we have 816 calling in. 816,
hello.
You're on the line.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey, you guys were talking about me earlier, so I thought I'd call in.
It's Kenneth. Let's welcome Kenneth.
When I was talking about the being sealed in the churches. Now, that is time periods. It's believed to be time periods within the church era. And there's certain ones that have overcome certain obstacles, and they become overcomers, and God seals them. Hello?
Amen, bro. Amen. I'm not sure who else is on the line, but amen, Kenneth. That's so awesome that you got that revelation. God gave you that, brother.
You know, it's... But each of us have to overcome. And right now we're in the Church of Laodicea.
Uh-huh.
You can see that. You can see that by how cold, they're neither hot nor cold about church. Some are and some aren't. And we can see that even in when people go to revivals. See, when I was growing up, a 5-day revival was normal. Now you're lucky to get a 2-day revival. Because we're so supposedly too busy for God.
Amen.
You know, amen. There's other, you know, but we need to overcome that as the church. And the church is not the building, it's the people within the building.
That's true. You said it. The building can be crumbling down, but if the members are alive and well, then that church is a beautiful, sprawling church. You're right.
But, no, that's what I was talking about, though, is when she said that she wasn't part of the overcomer, that she wasn't part of the 144,000. You don't have to be part of that 144,000 to be sealed. You have to be the overcomer that's sealed.
Yeah,
amen.
Makes sense.
Amen.
Well, that's why God's called the bride out of the church, because according to Revelation, 6 out of 7 churches are going to hell. So you read that there's 7 churches mentioned, unless they change their ways, and get out of the spirit of religion, they're headed straight to hell. That's why the Bible is very clear that the bride is pulling out.
I'm sorry, you're wrong, though. You're wrong. There is one
it
church.
Says it. You read the 7 churches, it's very clear that each one of them, based on their sins,
there's
according
one
to their
that
sins,
did.
That they're headed.
There's one that didn't, though. And that was
right,
the Philadelphia.
What am I talking about? What did I say? 6 out of 7. There's 7. I said 6 out of 7 were not. One was going in. It's Philadelphia. That's the bride. That's why God pulled the bride out of the church, because he pulled the false.
Right.
The spirit of religion is the worst.
But that leaves 6 and not 7.
Well, the bride is the one that got pulled out. And the bride is the one that is actually... The bride got pulled out of everything. The bride got pulled out of the world. The bride got pulled out of the churches. The bride got pulled out of everything. And that's why I think you see so many eclectic people with the bride, because they didn't go to church, did go, you know, some of them went a lot, it's all kinds of crazy stuff. So, and then they'll assist, some of them will assist the 144,000, because there's like the 5 different groups, like I was telling you. You've got the sinners, you've got, you know, there's the 5 different groups of people. The Jewish people, 144,000, you know, the ones that are going in, the ones not.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. God's going to be busy. That's why I'm thinking we got to go, because he's got so much stuff to do, there's just no way. In Revelation 4, it talks about the bride. After that, the bride's not mentioned until Revelation 19, when we come back with Jesus and second coming. So you got from 4 to 19, which is all about the tribulation. So we got to get out of here, because there's like I remind the Lord all the time, there's like thousands of things that got to happen. We got to go. Once we go, it all begins. So we've got to, you know, we got to get out of here.
Yep, and his timing is perfect, and it's now. The timing is perfect.
You know, I was talking the other day about that I actually see 4 different raptures. There are three different raptures. And the first one, and when I say that, what I'm talking about is when you look at the harvest time, the Jewish harvest time, there's actually 4 different harvests, 3 different harvest times. There's the first fruits, which is... the first 10% of the harvest, then you have the main harvest, and then you have the corners. And the corners are mentioned in Revelation at the end of the tribulation. So there's got to be 2 different raptures before the tribulation. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. You're right.
And plus, they think the Jews are going to... I'm not sure, but I think part of another 144,000, they're going to be raptured, because they're going to be sealed over there in Petra, and then they're going to be, and then they're going, then they're going to be raptured. So there's definitely a couple raptures going on. They're not going to die. so I got to go up.
Yeah.
Which two were you talking about? What are you talking about with the two? One for the bride and one for...
Okay. At harvest time, when you look at the harvest of the Jewish harvest,
yeah,
there's three different harvests at one time. There's the
okay.
first harvest, which is the 10% that they put a circle around that's ready before everybody else is.
First fruits? Is that the first fruits?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you have a second harvest, which is the main harvest. And then you have a third harvest, which is the corners. Now, we
okay.
know that the harvest at the corners is at the end of the tribulation.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, now okay. we have two other harvests that we still have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I so personally
feel... So you're saying it's five of them, Kenneth? You think it's five harvests, Kenneth?
No, three. I'm talking about three different. Okay, now.
Yeah, Kyle, God just kind of spoke to me about the three. The three could be the translated people that have already been translated, and then the bigger translation right before the rapture, first fruits. We're the first fruits to go up. Then the second
right.
one could be the rapture, and the third one will be the last harvest brought in from the Great Tribulation.
Right.
I think
that's
the grape harvest or something, right? I think the last one is the grape, and then there's the barley. I get confused on
no,
that.
No, I'm not talking about the... I'm not talking about what it is. I'm not talking
yeah.
about which plant it is. I'm talking about the actual time of the harvest.
Yeah, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of them, though.
And that's the reason I was saying I personally feel that there's going to be a one harvest or a rapture before the great rapture.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's going to be the translation, the mini rapture. It's going to be the thousand. Cause
yeah.
I don't think in the Bible, Dustin, I don't think it's called mini rapture in the Bible.
No, it
yeah,
doesn't.
It's definitely not.
No, I think
that's what it is. But what
it
is the first fruits.
The first fruits, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have people like our brother Kevin that have already been translated. There are people that have already been translated, and they're a part of the big
yep.
one, but there
yep.
is one that is going to happen at one time that's going
yep.
to take thousands
yep.
of
right.
people before the
yep.
rapture.
Yep.
But people are already being taken.
That's 144 million.
But the 100 that there's the first part of the harvest.
Hey, you guys, hold on. I just have to interrupt real quick. We only have like 30 seconds left. No, 10 seconds.
Sorry.
And Tressie, I want to tell you, Blog Talk kicks you out of chat. So Tressie, if you're listening, you can hop back in. If you don't want to get kicked out of chat, just start pressing on the keyboard different like just press. Different keys and it won't bump you off, but if you get bumped out, you jump in the chat room on a future show and you'll find us. You have to click on a future show and you'll find us because we'll stay here and give Spirit and the Bride say
come
yes, Lord.
We are out. April is it. We out.
Love
we
you.
Out.
Love you, Judy.
Love you.
Love you, Tana.
Love you.
Love you.